Ladies and gentlemen, the sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max Power Hour.
Power! I love Power Hour, man.
That is all power.
It's no commercials, no BS, no around. Starting with 49ers color commentator Tim Ryan.
You need some syrup for that pancake.
Followed by Murph and Max Total Recall. And capped off with a cooler of content.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It's exactly what you want and everything you need. So grab your coffee.
Who wants coffee?
Pound your juice.
This is some good juice.
Because Murph and Max Power Hour begins. Now. Time for muscles.
Yeah, it's just your standard, you know, chest and tries, back and buys.
Metal.
Ronnie James Dio. I'll go Dio.
The last in a line.
And manly pipes.
Oh, I love that.
Now here's 49ers color commentator Tim Ryan with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by Dignity Health. When it comes to healthcare with kindness, choose Dignity Health. Hello, human kindness.
Kittle is old school. That's why we say that dude could play in any era. Tape an aspirin to it and go.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, 49ers. What a November it was. They entered November limping. They leave November winning, baby. Three in a row, four of their last five. And Timmy Ryan there to call them all. He'll be up in Seattle next Sunday. We got to go over what he saw yesterday in a spirited. It's a lot of people calling it a playoff atmosphere yesterday down at Levi's Stadium. But we just want to talk to Tim about football is what we want to do. So welcome back, Timmy, on a Monday morning. Uma guest line, Murphy Max style. How you doing, man?
Hey, brother.
Hey, brother, how you guys doing?
good.
Mac, I just love you, bro. I got to tell you.
Oh, boy, it's a mutual thing, dude. It's totally mutual. I wait for these phone calls on Monday, dude. I really do. Yeah.
That's awesome. Me too.
Dude.
No, it was great, man. You know, you said they limped into November. There's no question. You know, you go back after that Arizona game, and a little glimmer of hope after the game, the big win at Chicago and playing some complete football and complimentary football, and then, you know, the Arizona debacle. And then since then, this team has come together, and it's just, you know, they're complimenting each other on each. And it wasn't a great start yesterday. You always hope for a good start on offense. Come out on the first drive, and Jimmy ends up. They have a false start, which is a negative play, and then Jimmy throws the bad interception. Was not a great first quarter for him, obviously. Had a couple of good throws, the big one to Ayuk. But I love that he responded. And I love that, you know, the defense came out after the takeaway and had their backs against the wall, and Thielen got away a little bit. But the defense responded. And then in the second half, they came back. And then, you know, that long drive before half, 8 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever it was.
Love that, yeah.
To tie it. Come back out in the third, and then another, marathon drive, and then the defense comes out, and what a play by Azeez Alshire getting the interception, and then they capitalized off that. So I just love complimentary football when they're playing that way.
Yeah, the second half was bonkers. I mean, 14-14 going into halftime, and they come out and wind up going 36-24, so tons of activity, man. A little bit on Jimmy, just starting there. You mentioned the response. I mean, it was weird. Kyle was pretty harsh in his criticism about the interception. He called it inexcusable. We're like, all right, man, he made a mistake. But I don't know. There was a little bit of conversation. Well, but Jimmy's been so good, Timmy. It was strange to see him throw that pick.
Yeah, well, I think that he said it was inexcusable because that's not the first time he's thrown that interception blind over the middle on an in cut with a lurker sitting right in the hole. Mm-hmm. That's kind of his go-to when all else fails. And, you know, that obviously everyone, you can't admit, nobody's going to be perfect. But when you're throwing it like that over the middle, flat-footed, and there was some pressure, and Jimmy can throw flat-footed and squared up all day long. But there was some pressure getting pushed in his face, and that's one where you probably just don't throw it. And there was other examples in the game where he did take a sack. He was trying to get away, but, you know, when you're playing good football, you don't need to, especially early in a game. I think that's what he was talking about, inexcusable. So, you know, great play by Harrison Smith to get that. But then, you know, they come back the next one, they get, and this is where I thought, and I know, I remember talking to my daughter after the game, and she's like, Dad, after that interception, we're all in the stadium looking around going, oh, is it going to be one of those days? And I said, just relax, right? So then they get into the next drive, and it's a tackle for loss. Then there's an incompletion. Now they're staring at a 3rd and 13. And the catch, the throw and the catch in traffic by Brandon Ayuk really got the party started. That was a lifesaver really early in the game. And then, of course, that drive finished with Deebo Samuel punching it in from 20 yards out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We can talk about Deebo and Elijah all day, but I want to ask you about the two guys who weren't Deebo and Elijah. You just mentioned Ayuk. We've talked to you now about him last few weeks in a row, man.
It's great to watch him become a factor.
He's heading
now
in the right direction. And then how about Juwan Jennings catching a touchdown?
Awesome.
Love it. And throwing some blocks. I heard you guys calling out some of his blocks, too.
So he's a different cat now. And, Mac, you'd love him. You would love him. Both you guys would really like him. But he's always the guy with the party going on, right? Always having a good time. He's kind of the replacement for Kendrick Bourne, if you will, in terms of that. You know, that young personality and just having fun, and he is a dog all day in terms of getting after it. And he does bring a different element of some nastiness in terms of his body size and that attitude that he brings to the table. So he's just going to get better and better the more he can get reps. So big, strong catch over the middle. He had the touchdown on the sprint out. And then, man, that play that – and, you know, there was debate. I remember when doing television, there was debate in the league of, is the shin the knee? You know what I mean on that? Is the shin connected only 1 foot, or is the shin connected to the knee, which equals 2 feet? And that would have been an unbelievable catch if you know, that, I guess, the whole knee would have stayed in and not hit the stripe. So he's definitely on the rise. There's no question about that. And, you know, we know what Ayuk is and what he's going to continue to be. He's going to get better and better. And then the guy that I'm ultra impressed with is Eli. His vision and his ability to, you know, and what I love is Kyle and Mike McDaniel, they're repeating plays. If it's a good run, go right back to it. They did it in Jacksonville with Deebo. I saw him do it a couple of times yesterday. And even if the blocking scheme doesn't change, maybe a defender is going to spill it instead of, you know, force it back inside. He's going to spill it and force it to the outside. Eli can read that block and read the angle of that block and what his blocker is going to do, put his foot in the ground, cut and burst and be gone. And that is an innate, rare talent to be able to process that vision to your body and make it happen so quick. It's super impressive.
Man, the visions, the cuts. It's just an absolute.
And the strength.
The toughness, the strength.
Paul just said toughness because we're talking about the finger.
Kid. Yeah.
The finger, the rib, the shoulder. And he's only 15 yards behind Najee.
I would use rib as plural. That would be ribs.
Jeez.
Ribs. Yeah. he's had a few of those. Yeah. And his finger and. You know, carried in his left hand a lot last night, but catching the rock, he is absolutely tough as nails. And, man, I remember in the offseason talking to Jimmy about him, and Jimmy's always like, yeah, the sermon, we're tight. I may have told you guys this story, but he said, I'll tell you, the guy we think is going to be really good is this Elijah Mitchell. And I said, wow, you understand. And it all looked good, no pads for sure. It's even better in pads, which is awesome.
So I read between 27 carries and 5 catches, 32 touches, the most since Frank Gore in 2009.
Wow, that's a good stat.
So
wow.
Workload. Yeah. Workload ahoy. Yeah, workload. Saddle him up, man. And they did it without him last week in Jacksonville, and they brought him back this week in Minnesota. And, in fact, going big picture, Timmy, they're calling it a playoff atmosphere in that game yesterday.
Yeah, no, you could hear it. The crowd was electric.
It felt that way. The two kind of – it's like a rock'em sock'em and two teams with the similar situations.
Right. I think everyone knew what was on the line. And in this, they're just the competitive balance. It's so tight, man. And when you get a team that's really staring up the same hill to climb as you are and kind of right in the middle of it and having a lot of hope, and they're a good team. So you knew, and they're a physical team. So you knew, at least I knew, and I think the fans and all of us knew that it was going to be that kind of game. It had, to me, so many similarities in terms of the feel. Certainly not the game, but going back to the 19th season, and I know a lot of people have talked about it, and this team clearly starting to play some 2019 ball, the 49ers. But if you go back 19 to 2019, it was game 11 that the Packers came in to Levi's.
Right.
And both teams were very good. Obviously, both teams would be shooting for the number one seed. There was still a lot of football left. That, to me, and I remember that game because it was started 8-0 and then a loss to Seattle, then maybe a win, a couple wins. So obviously went into that game with a terrific record. But both teams were going to be battling for that number one seed, and it felt like playoff football.
Yeah.
And every game after that felt like playoff football. And every game after that came down to the final possession or the final play.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same way this year.
So I got...
Buckle up, baby. It's going to be high freaking drama.
You know, I can see it coming too. You're right. And Tim, I want to go big picture as well, because you look at the 49ers, where they are right now, the last three games, the way, the caliber of football they've been playing since the Rams game. Crazy thing about this is you go back to September 19th, or excuse me, the 26th, the Niners lost 5 of 6 games. 5 of 6. Now, a lot of teams in the NFL would just skid off the road and crash and burn at that point. Now, the Niners have picked up the pieces, and they're playing their best football of the year, despite injuries, despite all, you know, all the odds against them. So the question is, Tim, where's the credit come for this? Is it the coaching? Is it the players in the locker room? You've been a part of a lot of NFL locker rooms. You know what the dynamic is. Like, the fact that this team didn't veer off the road and crash, I think is a story within the story.
No doubt. I think it's collective. I think it's a collective effort. I mean, you can look at it at the end of the day, it's a players' league, right? I mean, it's period. They're the guys that got to go out there and execute, and they're the ones putting their lives on the line, because that action is hot, as you guys know out there. But the coaches have, I think, done a great job in terms of kind of modifying along the way here what personnel is good at what. And you can see, you can definitely see, you know, illustrations of that on the field. Seeing a lot more dime defense with Talanoa Funga. He's also getting in the rotation with Jaquaski Tartt. Arden Key is coming along. Guess what? Arden Key can play inside too, not just outside. Or, you know, he's got a lot of versatility to him. You know, you go on the offensive side of the ball and boy, we're going to put Juwan Jennings at fullback on this play, and we're going to put Trey Sermon at fullback, and we're going to have Jeff Wilson. And they're just figuring out, you know, how to give the defense some challenges, but at the same time get the most out of the personnel and to be able to identify what personnel can do what. So there's no doubt the coaches are a big part of it. And, you know, remember after the Arizona game, there were a lot of people like going, man, how's D'Amico doing? Huh? You know, D'Amico's doing fine.
Yeah.
And the players got to play. And they've been playing much faster over the last three games. So I'll give a lot of credit to the coaches. I'll give most of the credit to the players, because they're the guys that are, you know, that have to get out there and do it. And you guys know it's depression 101 when you're losing in this business.
Yeah.
Especially when, as you said, you lose 5 of 6.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, and not only are you feeling down and you really don't feel like doing it, you got to get out there on the field for 2 hours. You got to get in the weight room. You got the commitment of these guys.
Yeah.
When the body hurts
and
the emotions hurt, to be able to grind through, there's a lot to be said for it. And then the euphoria of it when you come out on the other side. So a huge testament to the players and the coaches, and the players are getting better. How much better has Kevin Givens gotten?
Yeah.
How much better has Arden Key gotten?
Right.
I mean, it's sickening. And Dwan Jennings now, and Charlie Warner. I mean, there's so many young guys that are starting at Omenihu, where'd he come from? You know, and that guy's making plays. So really a credit to everybody from top to bottom. And, you know, the performance staff, the medical people, everybody in the building, it's feeling good right now, man. Definitely ascending in the right direction.
Hey, a couple sort of off-field stuff. One, what do you think of Mike Zimmer saying the Niners hold on every play? What do you think of that?
I don't want to hear that.
Know what I would say to that?
Yes.
You know what I would say to that, Mike? What? The Vikings hold twice on every play.
There you go. That's all.
Okay.
We should send him a highlight reel of Nicky Bosa getting held
on
literally every snap. Come on.
That's a strange comment from a veteran coach like him,
Zimmer.
Man.
Yeah.
Come on, Zimmer. You know what it is? He's a type A defensive guy. I've had a lot of respect for him for a long time. He has a creative package. You know, this is his 8th year, I think. And people are starting to, what's going on with this team? He's a great coach. There's a lot of pressure on him. Leave comments like that to the broadcasters, coach. Come on.
That was unusual for a guy like him, but I guess he's just cracked. Tough loss. I don't know. He cracked a little bit. Hey, and a couple of...
Hey, man.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Hey, man, we all crack. We all crack.
You know what they love to say in the NFL? Pressure bust pipe.
It does. It's a tough loss. It's a long flight back to Minnesota, man. Come on. And winter's coming,
not
too,
really.
Right?
If you take a northern route, you can get there pretty quick.
That's true, actually. Actually, flying west to east is always much more enjoyable than coming back into those headwinds, you know, man. You know those headwinds, yeah. Hey, and the other one is some listeners are suggesting... Do you think that the Jerry Rice, Steve Young, no dogs comment,
ever since
there was the Ram game, and then
they don't want to hear that, those guys.
Is there anything to that, Timmy?
Yeah.
I missed some things along the way. The no dogs comment.
Okay, so you didn't hear that. All right. Well, Steve Young said it on KNBR, and it got some legs on social media.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
It was after the Cardinal game when they got smoked. James Conner, Colt McCoy. And Steve came on with Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks, and he said, Jerry and I were talking at a charity golf event at Pebble Beach, and we said, there's no dogs, man. There's no dogs on this team. And I don't know, just throwing it out there. It got a little traction on social media. Well, players probably saw it.
Yeah, well, after the Arizona game, I don't know how much ball, you know, those guys have watched. I know Jerry's at certainly most of the home games and probably watches the road game. Steve's probably always working, so I don't know how much he's really watched. No, there's dogs. Just didn't let them out yet, dog. Why don't you try walking in the backyard?
Yeah, that's...
You just didn't put the sign up, Steve. Yeah. The sign is not on the door.
You know what I mean?
We're luring you in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now the sign says beware. Now the sign says beware of dogs, Tim. See?
Yeah. No, exactly. I get it. That team was loaded with dogs. That team was championship caliber. Every team's got dogs. You got to have some dogs to play in this league in terms of that mentality and that mindset. But I can go through a list. I can name a lot of guys that'll bite you right now on this team. So there's plenty of dogs.
Hey.
It's about going out and executing.
Yeah.
Man. You know you can't just when and I you guys know me. I'm a Rottweiler guy. I got a Rott, done all the canine stuff. She is awesome, by the way. But when you're a dog, you don't want a little nip, man. It's got to be a big, deep bite. Full bite, full clamp that sinks in.
Full bite, full clamp.
Well, that, you know,
there is no treat. There is no treat for biting with the front teeth on a little nip, bro. It is a full
I want those back rows involved. Yeah, yeah.
We got to get the molars involved.
Totally. Uppers and lowers, dude, all the way.
No, I'm serious. It's a full bite. So don't worry, Steve, Jerry. The full bite's coming.
There you go. Great answer. Great answer. Hey,
awesome.
The lead dog with the molars and the bite is Deebo Samuel.
Oh, this guy's
unbelievable. But now I'm worried a little bit about the groin. I mean, I know you're not a doctor. You don't play one on TV.
I'm all right today.
It's definitely going to be something we're watching there. Him and Warner with the hamstring.
Yeah,
that's going to be a challenge. Both of them a big part of this team, no doubt. Deebo, obviously, more offensively right now with his production. Fingers crossed that it's going to be okay. We'll see what the MRI says today. Hopefully, I think his tweet said last night that, you know, hopefully he avoided something serious. I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed, hoping it's like when we were down in, I think it was in L.A. for the practices against the Chargers, I think. And he gets up and walks funny, and everybody's like, oh, God, what's going on? Let's get him off the field. We'll be getting an MRI tomorrow. And it turned out being nothing. I think it was maybe a high hamstring or something back in when they were down there practicing against the Chargers. So hopefully it's going to be okay. Did Steve and Jerry not see that dog playing for the last 2.5 years,
well,
by the way?
He'll
take a full bite out of you.
Yeah, molars.
So he definitely – and his molars are white too, man. He's got some nice teeth. Samuel. Go ahead.
Did I hear you say on the broadcast that you were like, okay, I'd rather him be a wideout right now? Like, because that whole – we're turning him into the Marcus Allen tailback, student body right. But you said on the radio yesterday, I heard you. Didn't you say, like, hey, it's time for him to get back and just be wide out now instead of running back?
Well, that was my comment. But the context was get back to wide out and get the 1,000-yard catch. Mm-hmm. He had yet to get to his 1,000 yards yet in terms of a reception in that game. So, look, they use him any way they want. You get your best players the ball, period. But I just wanted to see, and thank goodness he did get the one catch because he ended up getting hurt on the running play, and he wouldn't have got his 1,000 yards receiving. That hasn't happened, I don't think, since 2013. So I just wanted to make sure that I saw that happen. So that's kind of the context of what my comments were with Debo.
Okay, I didn't know if maybe you were thinking it is time to get him to remember that he is a wideout that they could use because he's fallen in love with using him as a running back.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they'll ever remember that. I think what they've identified is that he's both, and you know he'll have these runs in his arsenal for the rest of his career, but. At the end of the day, he is a wide receiver, and I just wanted to see him get that 1,000 yards.
Yeah, crazy, though, that he is. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that changed. We talk about what changed in this win streak. One of them is moving Debo to running back, right? I mean, that's been one of the biggest strategic changes Kyle has made.
Absolutely. And again, with making that strategic, and we've seen him running, you know, we saw him run the jet sweeps, we saw him do some stuff, but sometimes your hand is forced because of injuries, and you say, Debo can run it. Let's try him back there. And then, sure enough, you know, the offensive – and let's not forget what the big boys are doing up front.
Yeah.
I mean, Trent Williams, all of them. But Trent is by far the best left tackle in pro football, and it is not even close. And the way he toys with people and just – I mean, he washes the whole side of the left side of the – right side of the D-line down on the left side of the offensive line. So let's give all those guys credit. But Debo's vision and the way he uses that off arm, obviously the foot speed and the quicks, but his balance, you guys, and you guys are both old enough to know what a Weeble Wobble is.
Yeah,
can't knock it. You can't knock him down. I mean, there was a play where the safety came up out of nowhere. I think it was Xavier Woods and the old knife tackle. I'm just going to slam my helmet right through his thigh pad, and no, that's not getting him down. Just kind of goes with it and then just keeps his feet going. So, he is so impressive. He's a great teammate, and I know all those guys love having him. Let's hope he's not out too long.
Incredible, man. All right, just a quick look ahead to Seattle. And then I heard you say to Greg, possibility of the Cincy game getting flexed.
I just had heard something like that. Don't be starting any crazy rumors.
All right.
So I don't know.
I'd like to.
It deserves it, though.
I'd like to see that one in prime time.
Yeah, it deserves that kind of status, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Cincinnati is rolling, man. They're a hell of a team. They can play D. They got a great passing game. And finally, their running back, Joe Mixon, has been able to stay healthy. But it'll be one week at a time.
Yeah.
You guys know Seattle is a really tough place to play. I prefer playing them up there in the day rather than at night.
Yeah.
When that crowd gets in a fervor. So I think that worked out for the 49ers. But, look, go up there and do what they've done for 3 weeks. Bully ball, beat up the line of scrimmage, and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, we didn't leave the last couple ones before we let you go. We didn't talk about Kirk Cousins lining up under guard. That's what Levi's Stadium did to him, right?
I can't believe I missed that opportunity. I didn't freaking see it, you guys. I'll be honest. And I'm like, after I said, oh, no, how did I miss that? Well, that's what happens when you get rattled, man.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get rattled. Can you imagine being the left guard? That's all I want to know.
What are those hands doing under me? And that was right when the Niners – we've been talking about this game all morning. We just seem like we haven't talked enough about that fourth down, that goal line stand that they wound up, you know, shutting them down. And that was the play where he lined up under guard. So the Levi's did his job.
Well, you know what? You know, the run D, and here's where we got to give guys credit, and I'll be honest with you. There had been games early in the year when guys were trying to feel their way out. And, you know, DJ Jones and has always played the run outstanding in the middle. But, you know, the other guys were having some challenges. Kinlaw was having some challenges. Now he was never healthy. Street get in there, have some challenges. Kevin Givens, when he got healthy, got in there early and had a couple of challenges. But the move to get Armstead in there, give the coaches a lot of credit on that, and tightening down the screws on the run defense. And then the emergence of these other guys and Kevin Givens and DJ Jones. And I think Street got hurt yesterday, but he's been playing better. Those guys have been playing so much better in run defense, holding up on those double teams, splitting those double teams. And a lot of credit has to go to them, and I know they've been working their butts off. So not only the two takeaways, but a couple of, you know, obviously takeaways on downs, turnovers on downs. So the D-line's humming, man, and they're just going to get better. Key's going to get better. I felt bad on the DPI by Josh Norman, which, again, ticky-tack. There were some good rushes on that one, and Arden Key, if I remember, had a really good rush. So he's definitely on the rise. And the more this group and the wave rushers, O'Menihue, all, and we've talked about them, are playing good, the more chances this team's going to have. You know how you get takeaways, fellas. You have splash plays on the quarterback, period. You got to get in the backfield and hit people. The splash play on the running back by Kevin Givens, knocking it out from Dalvin Cook. You got to get those plays in the backfield, and then the interceptions forcing an errant throw from the quarterback. So the more the D-line rolls, the better they're going to get. And we all know what they do up front on the offensive line.
It's great stuff. I'll just lend it with this just came out on the Twitter. Just three players in NFL history have ever had 1,000 receiving yards, 5 receiving touchdowns, and 5 rushing touchdowns in a single season. Debo has done it in just 11 games, first wide receiver ever to do it. So
nice.
We're witnessing some special stuff here, man.
Yeah, it really
so
is.
We'll follow that groin MRI and hopefully he can play up in Seattle. We'll let you go, but I'll give you 1 minute to gloat, man. How do you steal a coach out of Norman, Oklahoma, dude? How
yeah, look does, at you guys.
I mean, nobody leaves Oklahoma. That's you're the king of the world there. And I guess the Tim Ryan package was offered, huh?
California dreaming.
The fight on Tim Ryan package. Congrats.
Made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Nice. That's all.
It's a grand slam,
isn't
it?
Made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
That's not a home run. That's a grand slam, huh?
That is a grand slam. Yeah. And hopefully he's going to get it right. I'm sure he will. And you guys know what it's all about. Again, back to the athletes. Go out and recruit. And I know he's a great recruiter, and get the talent down there to play for those Trojans in the Coliseum and fight on, baby. It's time to get back. They've been asleep at the wheel for far too long, and you guys both know. It's like the crown jewels of pro football when the 49ers, the Raiders, the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Giants, when all those teams are playing good, it's funner to watch an NFL season. I'd say the same for college when the big dogs, in particular the Trojans, are rolling and winning games.
All right, we got you your gloat. Now we'll let you go, man. All right, buddy. Fun stuff, as
you
always.
What about Eric Kendrick's game yesterday that you see? Oh, never mind. I'll let you go.
Oh, that's all right. I know. Hey, I had to take my...
Anthony Barr didn't make it through the game. Never mind. I'll let you go.
I'll take my 66 points from the Coliseum a couple weeks ago and just kind of...
See? I thought we were going to end on a good place here.
I'm going to have to cling to it, though, because Lincoln Riley's coming in. I got to respect that, man. All right, Timmy, let's get those molars clamped down up in Seattle. All right, buddy?
Oh, he's fell off. Timmy
he
dropped.
Off. He dropped off on that. All right. Hey, you are listening to KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus Media station. Strong start to the Power Hour, and it gets even stronger. Well, as strong, as you say.
You're making bold promises. Well, that's strong.
Yeah.
I like when Murph makes bold promises.
Hums and bumps.
Yeah.
Next.
Guaranteed.
KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
I go, what do you think? And he goes, there's no dogs. And I got to interpret that because there's no dogs on it. There's not, like, okay.
I can name a lot of guys that'll bite you right now on this team. So there's plenty of dogs. There is no treat for biting with the front teeth on a little nip, bro. It is a full wow. We got to get the molars involved.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.